All right, we'll say good evening. Good evening. Sorry that our regular schedule has been a little bit disrupted over the last few weeks, but now it's great to dig back in, and now we're really getting into some of the real meat of Hilchos Shabbos. We're beginning tonight the Malach of Dosh. I went a little bit out of order because the truth is Dosh actually really comes before Zoreh. They're all kind of in what we'll call like the threshing, separating family. So, but being that Zoreh was a short malacha, we covered the entirety of the malacha in one shiur. And Dosh, as we're going to see, is a much more involved topic that is going to take us into the next couple of weeks. And Amir Tashem is going to lead into the exciting world of Borer. So we have a lot of really very exciting topics coming up tonight. So tonight what I'd like to kind of be able to do is lay out for us the conceptual framework for the Malach of Dash. So, of course, as always, we always begin with the same source, which is a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. So the Mishnah says in source number one, Avos Malachos Arbam Chasar Achas. There are 39 Malachas. Now, what you have to admit, it's kind of exciting now when we get to see that we're going through the order. And we've, Baruch Hashem, we've made a dent. So again, we've seen already Zorea, Chorish, Kotzer, Ma'amer. And then, of course, we did Zora also. But the underlined one that we're going to focus on tonight is Dosh. Rabbosana, Dosh technically, Dosh is threshing. So just to understand how threshing is typically done, so there are different ways of doing threshing. Essentially, three primary ways of doing threshing. All of them involve, the process of threshing is the process of going ahead and detaching the kernels from the stalks. So I'm going ahead and detaching the edible part of the wheat from the inedible part of the wheat. And that was done classically in one of three ways. Number one, simple way is you could just stamp on the wheat. Literally, again, just stamp on the wheat, and that ultimately separates that goes in and detaches the kernels. I'm trying not to use the word separate, because separate is going to be a little bit more by Borer, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But it detaches the kernels from the edible kernels from the inedible chaff. One could also do this with an animal, which again, same process, just having an animal walk up and down right on top of the wheat. Third possibility is what we call with the use of a flail. F-L-A-I-L. A flail, essentially, if you could imagine for a moment, a relatively easy piece of machinery. It's a long stick. On the end of the long stick, essentially, is another smaller stick that's attached to it like with a string. So that's what you could do is kind of like, I guess like the other thing was like lopsided nunchucks, right? So whereas nunchucks, you would have, let's say, two bars that are the same size. This is like a really big bar, a little bit of like a chain, and then a smaller bar attached to it. Essentially, what do you do with the flail? You just mamish get out all of your aggression on that wheat, right? You literally, again, it must have been very therapeutic. I see. You just hit the wheat. You just keep on hitting it over and over. And again, that process ultimately goes ahead and separates out the kernels from the stalks. It's actually interesting. It's interesting. I had to have a minute to put it in here today because I just thought I was looking at the sugi a little bit today. So it's fascinating to see how in modern farming, right, the use of a combine ultimately kind of incorporates all of these different processes into one mechanistic or one mechanical process. But again, this is not a shiur on farming. It's a shiur on Hilchos Shabbos. But that's Dosh. That's Dosh. Where was Dosh done in the Mishkan? So remember, again, two possibilities. Either A, Lechem Aponim. See, this is interesting because we'll say up until now, the focus, let's say, of Zoreah, Choresh, Kotzer, Ma'amer, Zoreh, was really focused much more on the production of herbs, right? Herbs and dyes used for the Mishkan. So it's interesting because this is wheat. So again, it's certainly for the production of dyes as well, but also for the creation of the Lechem Aponim, the showbread that is put on the Shulchan, the Meiri. That's all source number one. The Meiri says source number two. He says, Hadash bebehemos o bemakel. So here the Meiri gives examples of this. If a person goes ahead and threshes wheat with a stick, so it's interesting, by the way, how he brings down the flail option, right? The flail, he brings that down the stick first. Or he says, lehotziat tevua mitoach hashibalim. Excuse me. Hadash bebehemos o bemakel. I'm sorry. If a person threshes with animals or with a stick, lehotziat tevua mitoach hashibalim. And why are you doing this? In order to go ahead and extract the kernels, the chita, from the sheaves, havi malacha de dash. Ultimately, this is the malacha of dash. V'toldos shalo. So we'll say, what's the tolda? Now remember, again, we'll say, we have avos and toldos. So what is the tolda? Now remember, I want to point out, the av represents the malacha the way it was exactly done in the Mishkan. A tolda is a derivative of the original malacha, but even though it's a derivative, it's still an Isra Daraisa. Very important to understand. So what's the tolda? The tolda shalo mishekotesh lahasir klipas hachita. So I want to say the tolda would be, so this is actually interesting. What the Meiri is highlighting over here is the av malacha is either threshing wheat with an animal or with a stick. The tolda, essentially, is threshing however you thresh, with your hands. I was about to say, let's say I just go ahead and I sit on the ground and I pound wheat, right? I literally pound wheat with my hand. Or I stomp on it with my foot, according to the Meiri. So that's not the av. It's not the av, right? Because the paradigmatic, the av represents like the paradigmatic way the malacha was done in the Mishkan. So the paradigmatic way this malacha was done in the Mishkan was either with an animal or with a stick. So the tolda will be any other form of threshing that accomplishes the same thing, but is not with an animal or is not with a stick. Yeah. Great question. That is not an elementary question. That's a great question. So the simple distinction is the malacha of Zora, the malacha in and of itself, is predicated on the use of wind. In other words, that's what that process is called. If it's separating that is done ultimately again not with the wind, then it's not Zora. So it's a categorical definition that we had by Zora, as opposed to over here, this is a secondary form of separation, where the Maisa, any form of active separation will be halachically problematic. It's just, it's a definitional issue more than anything else. It's also, remember, is why else, like I mentioned this before, Dash comes before Zora. So you have to imagine that over here, what we're really starting with over here is kind of like the most general definition of threshing, and then we get into more specific examples of threshing. Zora being a more specific example, but a great question. So let's take a look at number three. The Shulchan Aruch Harav writes as follows. He says, "Shadosh beklihu av v'hamefarek biyad hu tolda." See here again, Shulchan Aruch Harav. Essentially saying the same idea as the Meiri. So here, but he's just giving us terms that are going to be very important. Right? When you go out and you thresh with a utensil, that's the av malacha. Now, by the way, utensil could mean the flail, right? Utensil could mean the behema, right? When you thresh with your hand, that's the tolda. And I will say the terminology for the tolda is going to be mefarik. Now, mefarik also, these words translate the same way. Mefarik really means like to extract something. So for example, coming attractions. We're going to see next week, we're actually going to cover the very exciting topic of schitas or schitas peros. Squeezing juices. We actually didn't smichas cover. Right? Squeezing juices out of fruit. So squeezing juices out of fruit is actually a topic of dash. But what's interesting, what we're going to see is because often fruits are squeezed, right, juice is squeezed by hand. So by definition, that's going to be called mefarik. So therefore, again, just getting our terminology down. When you thresh with a utensil being the stick or the animal, that is called dush. Any type of quote-unquote threshing-like activity done by hand is a tolda, secondary derivative form, and it's called mefarik. So mefarik, practically speaking, it's the same thing. It's just we're going to see as we go through this topic, some things are going to be called dush, and some things are going to be called mefarik. So now you understand the categorical differences. Good. The Rabbeinu Chanan, number four, writes as follows. He says, Hadosh hu mefarik ha-psolos ha-mechuberes po'ochel u-machinoson liberera. So this is very important. The Rabbeinu Chanan says, we'll say, this is incredibly important. Dush is the process of detachment. The process, we'll say, again, right, let's take a step back for just a second. What is the goal of threshing wheat? This is good to know. Maybe you're looking for a new hobby, right? What is the goal of threshing wheat? What's the goal? So it's interesting. It's not separating. What it is it's detaching. It's detaching, right? Borer, as we're going to see later on, is the act of separating psoles from ochel. Right? The act of borer is when I want to go ahead and I want to remove the impurities and keep the desired item. That's the process of separation. Dosh, again, just to get technical, dosh ultimately is the process of detachment. That's why the Rosai, what if you thresh a pile of grain, what does the pile look like when you're finished? What does it look like when it's finished? Right, it's a combination, right? The mixture is there. In other words, everything is still mushed together, right? I don't know what a threshed pile, I've never seen a threshed pile of grain or an unthreshed pile of grain. So I don't know, but I would imagine maybe it doesn't even look all that different. The difference just now is the kernels are detached from the chaff, and now you have the ability to sever. So this is very important. So that Rabbi Yochanan says the dosh, ultimately, again, is the detachment of the edible parts from the inedible parts. But it is not the separation. That's why he says, "Umichinasan lebreira." The malacha of dosh ultimately prepares you subsequently to do borer. So just very, very interesting. But so that's why, by the way, if you remember again, yes. And Zora, correct. That's why I just want to point out, correct. That's why I have a little bit of charada for doing Zora first, but I don't because we got it done in a shir, which was good. But that's how you understand. That's why Zora, go back to Chad's point, right? The next step really after Dash is Zora, right? Because what we're going to essentially see is there are a number of steps in separating out wheat from chaff, or kernels from chaff and wheat. The first step was, you put your pitchfork in it, throw it up in the air, and let the air do the first act of separation. That's the easy part of separation. Then subsequently, you would sift it. Then you would go, so all these different, that's why I remember again when we did Zora, the Gemara said, I don't understand, it really sounds to me like Dash, Zora, Borer, Merakeh is all the same thing. And the answer is because to a certain degree, they are all the same thing because they're all different forms of separation. Except now we really understand dosh is not separating. Dosh is detaching, right? There's still, in other words, let's say, what's the difference between borer and dosh? In dosh, you still have an active mixture and you're not doing anything to go ahead and what's the word? Separate that mixture. As opposed to in borer and on, the entire essence of those malachos is the separation of a mixture. Okay, so a very, very important definition. I will say it's that, so I put it on the sheet over here, source number 5, our definition. The definition of dash is the extraction of a fruit, vegetable, or earth-grown commodity from its natural inedible shell, peel, or similar attachment. So I'll say, so that's what is extraction. I really should have used that. I took this definition from the Rabbi Ribiat book, from the Lamentes Molochos. It was just a good formulation. But really, what I should have written for our purposes is not the extraction, but rather, again, the detachment. Detachment? Yeah. Detachification. That's good. No. Right, the detachment, right? So that's really what it is. So you call that extraction. Detachment. Again, now you understand already conceptually, dash, detaching, borer, ultimately, later on, separation. Good. So we'll say, let's qualify this a little bit more. Number 6, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, Ein disha ela legedule karka. So we'll say, so number 1 qualification, dash only applies to items that grow from the ground. Now, I want to point out something, and we'll see this a little bit later on. I don't know if today or next week. It only applies to things that grow from the ground, but not only to food items. So for example, we're going to see that the malach of dash could apply to cotton. The malach of dash could apply to flax. So again, the difference is it only applies to items that grow from the ground, but those items that grow from the ground need not be food items. Now, listen, interestingly enough, one of the interesting applications of this, I'll just show you fascinatingly, now, if you remember again also, we learned in the past year that the definition of gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground, that could have a very expansive definition, right? That could even include what? Remember? I think we did it this year, right? Zora we did it, right? It could even include animals and people. Why? Because anything sustained from the ground ultimately could potentially have the status of gidulei karka as well. So just keep that in mind, because we will see some examples ultimately of dash that apply to animals, to people. We'll talk about it, but I'll show you something interesting that dash does not apply to, which is actually quite fascinating. Number 7, so the Gemara says, Tamar Abonon Hatzad Chilazon Vapotzo, Eno Chayiv Ela Achos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chayiv Shtayim. So listen to this. What happens if you trap a chilazon? Remember again, chilazon is that tcheles producing sea creature, snail, right? So for our purposes, right now, I will say just substitute. It's just, let's assume the Gemara is talking about a fish. Because it's about a water creature. The fact that it's a chilazon doesn't actually matter. It's talking about a sea creature. So the Gemara says you only chayiv once. You chayiv one thing for what? For the malach of trapping, which we'll get to. Rabbi Huda says chayiv shtayim. You chayiv two things. Rabbi Huda omer petzia bichlal disha. Rabbi Huda said if you catch the chilazon, you trap it, and then you squeeze, let's say, the dye out of it, then halacha lemaisa, you chayiv twice. Once for trapping, and once for dash. Once for dash. Amrullah, they said to him, ein pitzia bechlal disha. No, Amrullah, my time in Drabana, kasavri, ein disha el gidule karka. So I'm going to say something interesting, for example, that dash would not apply to is fish. So if you were to have a fish, and you were to squeeze the oil out of the fish, that would not be dash. That would not be dash. Now, is it borer? Is it something else? That's a separate discussion. But just interestingly enough, fish doesn't have the status of gidule karka. And because that, technically speaking, squeezing something out of the fish, you would not be chayef for dash on Shabbos. Okay. So right, so the Gemara goes on to also ask, they're talking actually about a live chilazon. The Gemara, the next line, talks about that also, about metilas neshama. So take a look, number eight, stress number eight. So we'll say, so now again, I just wanted to mention the distinction between dash and borer, and we spoke about this before. So remember again, borer is, the entire act of borer is sorting. That is the entire act of borer, separating and sorting. Right? From a mixture. So borer requires a mixture, as we'll discuss, and you're sorting items out from the mixture. Dash, Avosai, means detaching. So again, fundamental difference. Borer, separating something out, pulling something out of a mixture. Dash, the mixture is still fully intact. One is just simply separating. One is separating, we'll call it the edible items from the inedible items, but without sorting the mixture. The mixture itself is still fully intact. Good. So we'll say, that's our conceptual framework for dash. Now, based on what we've seen, we kind of come to a fundamental question, which is, so how are you allowed to peel fruits and vegetables on Shabbos? Right? After all, isn't the act of peeling fruits and vegetables on Shabbos by definition dash? It's dash, right? You're going ahead and you're removing a potentially inedible peel, right? Inedible. And inedible, by the way, we're going to see, is really also subjective. But you're removing something inedible from the edible part. We're removing the edible from the inedible part. So why isn't that dash? So I'll say, so there are two fundamental answers to this question. So in source number 9, Rabbi Akiva Eger gives the first answer. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, the liklof shumin ubitzalim. See, he happens to discuss this question in terms of peeling garlic and onions, garlic cloves and onions. He says, why is it permitted? He says, the liklof shumin ubitzalim la'alter shari, v'lo arminan dahavi mefarik. It's not, now we'll say, and now again, remember, why is he calling it mefarik and not dash? Because with your hands, right? That's why again, now, but it's all the same, it's the same thing effectively, but that's why our terms are important. So why is that permitted? Why isn't it mefarik? Listen to this. Debatel klipa hadaka mechuberes ma'od legabe ochel. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says like this, that when you have a thin peel that is closely attached, the peel is considered to be part of the food. That's his idea. So therefore, again, if you go ahead and you peel an onion, you peel garlic, you peel a banana, right? You peel an orange, you peel an apple, you peel a cucumber, whatever it is that you're peeling, because that peel, A, is thin, and B, attached, right? There's no airspace. It's attached to the food item. Therefore, it is considered to be a chilek of the food item. And essentially, Rabbi Akiva Eger will say, removal of the peel is effectively just like removing part of the fruit. Okay, so that's the first approach. That's why I will say, now again, there's going to be other ramifications that could potentially come up with borer, which we'll discuss. There's also going to be different discussions in terms of using, let's say, a peeler or things like that. We're not talking about any of that. We're just talking conceptually right now. Why isn't the removal of a peel from a fruit or a vegetable considered to be an issue of dash? So again, answer number one, Rabbi Akiva Eger, because any peel that is thin and closely attached to the fruit or to the vegetable itself is considered to be part of the fruit, and therefore its removal is just considered to be removal of part of the fruit. Okay. I'm sorry?
Isn't that the case by the weed as well?
Oh, hold on. So it comes along. So the simple answer could also be by the wheat, that the peel could be somewhat thicker and is not necessarily as closely attached. Again, we'll see about wheat in just a moment. But take a look at number 10. So number 10, these are from the footnotes in the back of the Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, of the 39 Malachas. So those footnotes in the back of that Sefer are like a treasure trove of just different sources. Look what he writes over here in source number 10. So I'll say, he says over here as follows, Kvar bi'arnu zel le'el ba'ara 21 and ba'ara 24. Listen to this. De'ikar kavanas disha, davi achona la'otzar, v'darko le'asosa basada v'lo be'bayis b'shas achila. So I'll say, so first of all, the nature of dash, the nature of threshing, is really two things. Number one, it's done in the field, right? Threshing is a process that is done in the field. And number two, it is done before things are put into storage. So in other words, there are two things that he's highlighting over here. Number one, location, and number two, timing. And which are, they're kind of intertwined, right? Number one, dash is normally done in the field, but most importantly is, it's not done in proximity to consumption. In other words, right, the way threshing works is you thresh wheat, then what do you do with the wheat? After you separate that everything, what do you do with the wheat? What do you do with the kernels? Right, you grind it or you put it in the silo. The point is, dash is not done immediately prior to eating. So look what he writes. He says, the chayvan, if you skip the parentheses, he says, the chayvan shezeh darko shaldisha, mistama ba'ofen zeh hayu gamkin ma'aseh b'mishkan. So therefore, you know, both sides, the paradigmatic definition of dash, ultimately, again, is threshing produce in the field, getting it ready for storage, not for immediate consumption. Now watch this. Nimtza, delo shayich disha, rak ba'osan aklipo, shadarkan la'asirin basada. Therefore, again, it turns out that he explains over here that dash really only applies to those type of shells that are normally removed in the field at the time of threshing, ukigon, or the time of harvest, kigon chitin, the kitnios, the cholkiyotze boshi, efshar lanicham beklipasan, umasirin osan b'shas adisha. Aval, haperos, but let's say when it comes to fruit, kigon tapuzim, ubananos, the chol kiyotze ba, shaderech latznian ba'otze kishadai miklipasam mechubarin. But let's say when it comes to fruits and vegetables, where? It is very common to what? Store them in their peel, in their shell. Lo shayuch meleches dosh umefarik ba ze, de'ein ze tsuras hamalacha de dosh. So Rabbi said, this is very interesting. So apparently, what he's suggesting, he quotes over here also from Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. So essentially what he says is as follows. He says the definition of dash, number one, is threshing that's done in the field. And number two, threshing that is dafka done at the time of harvest and does not wait until the time of consumption. So he says, therefore, the act of peeling fruits and vegetables, which is always done when? Immediately before consumption, that's not the mulacha of dash. So we'll say two different answers. So we'll call it Rabbi Akiva Eger and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So Rabbi Akiva Eger essentially telling me that it's only dash if it's a thicker or looser type of peel or shell. But if it's something that is very thin and closely attached, no malacha of dash because the peel is considered to be a part of the fruit. Therefore, again, peeling fruits and vegetables is going to be totally fine. Excuse me. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, quoted again in the Migdal David, explaining that halacha lemaisa dash is only when the shells are removed in the field at the time of harvest prior to storage. But if the peels or the shells remain there until the time of consumption, that is not the malacha of dash. Okay, we'll see some interest. Now, we're going to both say these are two separate approaches. We'll see exactly some interesting nafgaminas in just a little bit. Yes?
Does that include something like peanuts?
Oh, good. Hold on for just a second. We're going to get to peanuts in just a second. So take a look at source number 11. So watch this. What about peanuts? What about peanuts? So first of all, you're welcome for the color marmakomos. Today I wanted you to get the full effects. I was actually very interested by this. Just so you should know, as an aside, normally nuts, right? The bracha on nuts is borei priya eitz. Peanuts are a borei priya adama. Right? Why are peanuts borei priya adama? If you look in the image over here, it's actually quite interesting. Peanuts are a plant. Peanuts are a plant. And actually, interestingly enough, the peanuts themselves, the nuts, grow under the ground. So actually, what you see over here in that top image is someone is holding a peanut plant. The bottom part are the peanuts. So again, you do not see them on a peanut plant because they're growing on the ground. That's why, again, peanuts get a hadama. And I will say now, peanuts are interesting. Why? Because peanuts aren't really attached to their shell. Right? Like if you ever have peanuts in a shell, you could rattle it, right? And you could hear the peanut in there. So what's the story with, is it called shelling a peanut?
Yeah,
good. So what is, right? What is the story with shelling the peanut on Shabbos? Is that going to be permitted? So certainly off the bat, it would appear that according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, it should be Aser. Right? Because according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, his only heter to go ahead and, and peel things on Shabbos, right? Peel off the covering or the peel on Shabbos is dafka only going to be in a scenario of a we'll call it what he called a thin, closely attached peel. Oh, thank you, Rabbi. Thank you. A thin, closely attached peel. So the peanut by definition would not seem to work in that particular definition. But take a look at number 11. Ramosha says, or something very interesting. Ramosha says, "V'lachin klipos shedarkon lishar emapri, ein bahem mefarik. V'chein mefurish b'mishnah bura sifkan chavdimol sifkan chavdalat. Sorry, shemurta l'shaber aklipa hakasha v'liklov kamaklipa adaka shala egos gufa ein sham." Ramosha seems to feel that the halacha really follows the second approach, not the first approach. So Ramosha essentially says, "Thank you so much. Thank you." So Ramosha essentially says like this, that we really follow the second approach, namely, that the malacha of dash only applies to something that really has the edible detached from the inedible part in the field at the time of harvest, long before the act of consumption. But if you have an item that retains its peel, that retains its shell, all the way up to the moment of consumption, then halacha lemaisa, the malacha of dash does not apply to that item. Sifra, again, Rav Moshe says there's no dush by peanuts, and therefore aloch lemaisa, you could crack open a peanut on Shabbos. So I will say, I will tell you, it's important to understand that aloch lemaisa, there are poskim who disagree with that, and there are poskim that hold that shelling a peanut on Shabbos will absolutely be the malach of dush, because they subscribe to really the definition of Rabbi Akiva Eger. But again, Rav Moshe, if Rav Moshe says it's moter good enough for Rav Moshe, then going to be good enough for us as well. So Allah Lamaisi, you see Rav Moshe really placing primacy on that second approach. Okay, the Chai Adam brings up another interesting case over here. He says, Hadash ki grogeres chayiv, ubepachos mizeh asr medorais ki chalitzun shabbatorah. Fine, so we're going to get into the shir next week a little bit more. The Kamalan chasi shir, ve'ein di shalab gidule karka, Meleches hadisha yadua shidafarek haochel lahafrido min hashibal and vasharvitin. So says, well, it's all just a review of what we said before. What's the malach of dash? It's detaching the edible part from the inedible part. V'chein kol davar shederach lefarek ulavdilo midavar shenivla bo chayiv. And I will say, interestingly enough, the malach of dash really only applies when you remove something edible from something else that is inedible, and the edible item is absorbed in the inedible item. Right? So the paradigmatic example of this is the wheat and the chaff, right? The kernels, which are edible, right, ultimately, again, are absorbed in the stalk. So the act of dash is detaching the edible from the inedible. So also what the Chai Adam adds in over here is that if you have peas in a pod, sorry, if you have peas in a pod, if you have peas in a pod, so then halacha lemaisa, assuming about say that the pod is not edible, so the act of detaching the peas from the pod will by definition be the malacha of dash. Now, of course, if the pod itself is edible, then of course there's no dash because the entire thing is considered to be an edible item. So again, that's the Chai Adam is really going ahead and adding on over. He says v'chein v'lachin also the farei kapulin shikari beves min hasharvitin afil masherot zelachal la'altar v'chein kitnios shekvar niskashua sharvitim shikorin shvitin achin ruyin la'achila. So we'll say, so this is the idea. So just the pea pod example is just interesting because if the pods are edible, then obviously, again, there's no dash. If the pods are inedible, then ultimately, again, extracting the peas from the pod will be dash.
Is that for any similar vegetable like edamame?
Like
edamame. You serve it in the shell.
I don't know what edamame is, but...
Soybean.
Yeah, if it fits this category, then it would be the same. He's only using peas in a pod as an example, but whatever else would fit into the same paradigm should work as well.
That's not considered the same as a peel that's on there
It's not, no, because remember, peas in a pod is not a tight fitting thing, right? In other words, there's room in there. There's room in there, right? As opposed to, let's say,
peanuts.
I'm sorry?
Peanuts, right?
Correct. In other words, again, this is all going in these different opinions here. So remember again, we have this machlokes, right? Rabbi Akiva Eger and Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa. So I'm just pointing out to you different cases that were working different ways. So correct. In other words, the same Rav Moshe, that ultimately again would permit by peanuts, would also permit by peas in the pod. But conversely, those who subscribe to Rabbi Akiva Eger would hold all of these things are aser. I want to show you one more interesting case of this, and this, I had no idea about this, mamish, until like this afternoon. Walnuts. So I'll say, so this is interesting. Again, you're welcome for, I might have to charge for these copies a little bit, only because the cost of color printing has gone up. But anyway, so I'll say, so take a look at the walnuts over here. This is actually quite fascinating. I don't know, maybe the chaver here knew this. When walnuts grow on a tree, so essentially what they do is they grow in a bulb. They grow in a bulb, right? So what you see over here in this image over here, you have that green bulb. Inside of that bulb is is the walnut. Now, what you're looking at over there is the walnut shell, right? And then you would crack open that shell, and ultimately, again, the walnut would be in there. So quite fascinating. So the Shulchan Aruch writes over here, number 13, he says, "V'lachein aser lefarei ke'egozim luzim, o egozim gidolim mitoch klipas an hayiroka." So he says, for example, it would be prohibited. So most say, here's what's interesting. Shelling the walnuts themselves, right? When you have what we call a walnut, right? You crack open that walnut, that's going to be fine. Right? That's going to be fine. Because the truth is, at least according to the opinion of the Shmir Shabbos Gilchus, it's going to the second approach, that's going to be totally fine. Where dash potentially comes up is the act of removing the bulb. That's where, again, I have to tell you, I don't know, can you buy walnuts that way with the bulb on it?
No.
I don't think so, right? In other words, so I don't know. I'm just like, it's so interesting. I literally did not know this fact until this afternoon. Just interesting. Very, very humbling. You know, we'll say when you learn about like simple things in nature that you just never knew about before. Not that I'm such like a big walnut consumer, but it's fascinating. In any event, so the act of shelling the walnut itself, that's going to be fine. But halacha lemaisa, the removal of the bulb is actually, in other words, if the walnuts were in the bulb and the act of separating the walnut from the bulb, that halacha lemaisa would be problematic on Shabbos.
That's probably because that would be something that would be done in the
bulb. Correct.
Shells at home.
Correct. So I think we'll say that would be, I want to point out this walnut case, so removing the walnut from the bulb, this is going to be problematic according to everyone, right? Because according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, it does not fit the category of being a thin, closely attached shell, right? That's number one. And certainly, again, according to the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasal, the Migdal David, so this is something that was normally done in the field, and therefore, Allah Chalamaisa resembles the Malach of Dash. And the Mishnah Berurah comments on here, he says, in number 14, Klipasan HaYeroka, he's talking about the green outer shell, the bulb. Dizet dummy, Kimito Chashvilin. So Mishnah Berurah says, because again, the act of removing of the bulb, that's real dush. But everyone agrees that the act of the removal of the shell around the walnut, that's going to be totally permitted. Fine. So let's say there's more to that. One halacha that I forgot to put on the sheet, but I just want to share because it's along the same idea. In Simin Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yud Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch writes another interesting halacha. He says, Aser lirdos chalos dvash. You cannot squeeze honey out of a honeycomb on Shabbos. Now, there are different ways in which you could squeeze honey out of a honeycomb. As you could literally crack apart the honeycomb. You could go ahead and scoop out honey, or you could press down on the honeycomb, like with a spoon or something else. Shulchan Aruch paskins, you cannot extract honey from a honeycomb on Shabbos. He says, why? Mipnesha domat letolish. Because it has the appearance of tolish. Now, tolish literally means removing something. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, excuse me, in Sifkat Mevandvash Meakavaris, the Hainu Afila lo Yirza Livra Hadvash Minashaiva, Tizel Bechlam Mevarik, Aliika Chachalos Atzaminakoris. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, so he says why? Because it's Mefarik. It's Mefarik. It's Dush. It's Dush. Remember, you will say, what's Mefarik? What's Mefarik? Right? Mefarik is Dush, but with your hands. Right? Or with dash, or with anything other than a conventional means. So we'll say, Saloch Lemaisa, this is another interesting idea about honeycombs. Again, I don't know how shayach it is. The reason I'm bringing this down is it's interesting. There used to be an earlier minog that for Rosh Hashanah, there's a whole, you know, in general, when the Torah goes ahead, right? When we speak about, let's say, for example, that Eretz Yisrael, is a land of chalav udvash. So remember again, whenever the Torah speaks about dvash, honey, what kind of honey are we talking about? It's date honey, right? It's date honey. It's never bee honey. What's interesting to note is that it's brought down that on a Shoshana, where there is a minog to use honey, that there was dafka minog to use bee honey, and not date honey. So what's the pshat? I saw brought down. That the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something so beautiful. He says, because on Rosh Hashanah, we know that again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides everything that is going to unfold in the coming year. And there's going to be good things, and there's going to be difficult things. He says, you know, when the bee stings, it hurts. But the same bee that stings and creates pain is the same bee that creates beautiful, sweet honey. And the Rebbe says that a lot of times in life, that's the way life works also. We have difficult circumstances, stinging situations, but yet again, it is so important to always maintain our emunah that even from the most difficult or stinging situations, something beautiful and something sweet always comes about. So I'm sharing this with you because it used to be the minog that people on Rosh Hashanah would go ahead and take a honeycomb. They would bring a honeycomb home, you know, to use for the dvash. So the post can bring down, that's beautiful. Rabbi said, you know, the worst school that you could do on Rosh Hashanah is to violate one of the Lamentes Malachas, right? Not a good idea to go ahead and begin the year. Now, the truth is, we'll talk about the Malacha of Dash vis-a-vis Yom Tiv. Dash is not permitted on Yom Tiv because, again, when we finish Lamentes Malachas and Shabbos, go to Hilchos Yom Tiv. But again, that's where the honeycomb is brought down. So that's why, interestingly enough, it's brought down also by Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. But here the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you can't take honeycombs and squeeze out the honey because, again, that would be a problem of Mavarik. All right, well, so you know what? We'll stop over here. We'll stop over here for tonight. So Shkarek, everyone. So again, next week, just coming attractions. What we're really going to focus on next week, we're going to try to get through the entire sugya of Schitas Peros. That's going to be our goal. And again, I will say, so in that discussion, we're going to see, we're going to divide things up into essentially a couple of different categories. Category number one is, I'll give you the framework now, save ourselves a few minutes next week. But category number one, I will say, is going to be, which fruit are subject to the prohibition of Schita, Midoraisa, biblical prohibitions. And again, that's going to be things like grapes and olives. And then we're going to speak about fruits that are subject to schita midrabanan, which essentially is going to be, you know, other types of fruit. We'll discuss what falls into that category. And then also we're going to have to discuss is the distinction between creating fruit juice in an active squeezing function versus what we call mashkin shezavu, when the juice seeps out of the fruit itself. Is there still a prohibition to use that juice, not use that juice? All of those halachas. So that's going to be our avod, emirat Hashem, for next week. And we'll say, and then we're going to go, again, no planned break, emirat Hashem. We're going to keep going through, get through the malachas. I think we'll probably end up spending about three weeks on Dash, because there's a lot in there. And then Amir Hashem, still before Pesach, it's amazing we're talking about before Pesach already. Right, still before Pesach, I want to begin the Malach of Borer, at least Amir Hashem. Unless, of course, there's a desire for the Olam to spend, I'm going to float this idea. Maybe I'll put, I haven't done a WhatsApp poll in a while. I don't know if there is an interest from the Olam to do some Hilchos Pesach between Purim and Pesach. But, you know, hit the pause button on Shabbos a little bit and do some Hilchos Pesach. I don't know, I'm a man of the people, so I'm happy to. I'll put out a poll, and if the Chaver wants to do that, we definitely could do that as well, or we'll push forward with Hilchos Shabbos. I will say, Schus to be back with all of you in Shkoyach. Amid Yomi starts in 6 minutes. Amir Tzashan.